Okay, we left off yesterday trying to put together all the Gemaras in the Bavli, the whole Gemara in the Yerushalmi, about what is our take on Eruv. Bottom line is we see 3/4 different shitas still keep on repeating themselves with all the sugyas. The extreme shita is that Eruv is Kiklisheni, and within that, Machlekes Rashbam Ben Yonah, why that's true. Then the other extreme shita, Eruv is Mamashi Kli Rishon, Mavashi Makula, and then Rabbeinu Tam right smack in the middle, that is Mavashi, Mavliya Kadei Klipa. So the question is, where does this place us halacha lemaisa? How would we even begin to search for an answer lemaisa? So in all the areas of the sugyas that we've been learning, many of them are not going to yield very convincing results. There is no Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Mariko Shtifa, so it's going to be hard to check over there. It's going to be very hard to check Hilchos Chala, because the whole discussion in Pesach about Hilchos Chala was according to the Tana that we don't paskin like. Because we paskin like, even after the dough was made into bishul, if you rebake it, it's Chayv and Chala, the bagels scenario. So that's going to be a place, it's going to be very, very hard to look. It's going to be very, very hard to find anything convincing in Hilchos Shabbos, because at the end of the day, we don't even cook in klisheinis on Shabbos, because we are so worried about Rav Elazar Mitz, we're worried about Kali Abishol. So where are we going to look? What area of halacha are we even going to begin to look? So there are two possibilities. One of them is in Yeridaya, and one of them is, believe it or not, tucked away in Hilchos Brachos. So let's take a look and see what the place given nice to Kim and Shulchan Aruch have to tell us about what, if anything, is the final word on this whole Eruv saga. So if you take a look at the 12th of the Marmakamos, it's a Ramah in your day in Sibin Sadi Beis. So the Ramah tells us, the Kiluach min HaKeder Rasachas, Shaholach al Keder Tzonenes. I have a boiling hot pot, it's a Kli Rishon, and some of the Kiluach, some of the Spritz, so some of it sprayed onto a cold pot. And I want to know what happened. Did anything impact? And if it did, to what extent did it impact that cold pot? Now, I don't want to read the next line yet, because the next line is going to go back to Nifsuch HaKiluach, which we're not quite ready for. I want to skip a line in the Ramah, where the Ramah continues the saga and says, I have a boiling hot pot. Some of the stuff is spilling over. The Imlay Nifsuch, and the spray, the spillover, is not stopping. So it's not drop by drop. It's a continuous spray. It's a continuous flow. Havik Iroi. So says the Ramah, that's treated like Iroi. Vakedera hatzenenes nesra. And therefore, Iroi poses a problem. And again, if it's Bosa going to Cholov, or it's Treif going to Kosher, whatever the case may be, is going to pose a problem to the second pot. Obviously, the Ramah quotes the Shulchan Aruch that says, if the Kiluach has cooled down to beneath the Yatzah Lettuce belt, then the game's over. Then there's nothing to talk about. So that's obvious. But if the Eruv remains above the point of the Yatzah Lettuce belt, then we have a problem. The Kedera just became, again, either Treif or through Bas B'cholav, a Treif to a Treifus, whatever the case may be. But here comes the Ramah and says, that Tavshul Shebesei Chashari. But the food inside is permissible. Why? The ein iri oiserak de klipa, because iroi can only impact up until the klipa and no further and no more. So therefore, the pot is the klipa in effect. The thickness of the pot, that is halakhically the klipa, and the food inside is unaffected. That's the psak of the Ramah. So what is this Ramah indicating to us, and what is the Ramah not necessarily indicating to us? So one thing the Ramah is clearly not saying, and that's the Eish Mefarsh Metosin Zvachim. That's obvious. Because according to the Tosin Zvachim, whenever you have a real bona fide Eruv, so Eruv is Mamash Kli Rishon, and it asks Bakulo. Remember it's Mevasha Bakulo. Remember Patas from Chala Bakulo. Remember those Yesh Mefarshim. It impacts and it permeates through and through. The whole item is considered to be mevushal, and therefore, if those yesh mefarshim would be right, then the entire contents of the pot would become treif. The Gemara says chamasech tzeinein is just all you have to do is kedei klipa. How did the yesh mefarshim explain that? Who remembers? What were the yesh mefarshim's dicha of that Gemara? That Gemara wasn't really talking about Eruv. That was talking about what? Who remembers? What's the key phrase?
Okay, small drops.
I mean, small drops. Eruv shenifsach hakiluach. But the Ramah is not talking about that. because that was the part we skipped in the Ramah. The Ramah is talking about the Imlo Nifsak. The Ramah says, Imlo Nifsak, it's still Eina Isa like the Klipa. So the one thing is crystal clear that the Ramah is definitely rejecting that most extreme Shita of the Eish Befarshim. So the Ramah is very much in sync with Kedei Klipa, no matter what. The problem is, this Ramah only tells us that Kedei Klipa is Mavliya. The Ramah does not indicate to us what he thinks about Bishul, because the fact that it's Mavliya, well, that's not a great surprise. That everybody agrees to. Even the Rashbam agrees to that. Remember the Shach from Simon Kuvei, that even the Rashbam who held that Iri is Kiklisheni, that means vis-a-vis Bishul. But vis-a-vis Bliya, of course, Bliya l'chun or Bishul l'chun. That was all yesterday Shia. Rashbam's whole theory is that Bliya is and Bishul part ways. So the fact that the Ramon Tzadi Beis is telling us that there's a Bliya of Kedei Klipa, that's nice because it knocks out the Yesh Refarshim and Tzayin Zvachim. But it doesn't really tell us anything tachlis, anything that we want to know about whether that Kedei Klipa is a Mavash or Mavliya, because in Simon Tzadi Beis, even a Mavliya causes the problem. So the Ramon is partially helpful, but didn't quite give us the entire picture. So do we have anything else to go on? Any other places to look? So the next is the Marmachim, the 13th of the Marmachamos. It's actually the intricacies of a sugya in Hilchos Brachos. So we need a little bit of a background to appreciate what the Magen Avraham is about to tell us about Yeroi. So we need just to take a few steps back. It's a sugya that appears in Maseches Brachos in Ketzim Mevarchim. It's the sugya of Chavitza. Basically, the Gemara tells us that you can have something that is bread. This halachli bread, it was kneaded as a dough, it was baked in the oven. It's a real full-fledged piece of bread. It's a challah, it's a matzah, it's halachli lechem choladeitz. And now the Gemara raises the whole question, what can possibly be done, if anything, to alter that status of lechem? Now, this is a din deraisa, because lechem is a deraisa like a concept. There are dinim in HaTorah that depend upon lechem. First and foremost, bechas amazon. Torah says, according to many, many opinions, Birchas HaMazon derais is only on lechem. Some Rishonim hold that any mezonos or any Shivas Aminu for that matter would also warrant a benching with derais. And there is such an opinion in Rishonim, but the Rambam happens not to hold that way, and many don't hold that way. Many hold that the only derais of Birchas HaMazon is only lechem ha'amu b'teira. Shivas Aminim nisht, only lechem ha'amu b'teira. So lechem is a deraisa concept. It is a mechayev of birchas hamazon. On a deraisa level, lechem is also important because lechem is necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Torah calls matzah lechem oini. So if it's chaser, it's felt, if it's missing in the shem lechem, so you cannot be yaitzei matzah. So is there anything that can be done to be mevatel l'shem lechem once it was already granted the shem lechem? Now, to create a shem lechem in the first place is a different sugya. Those are sugyas in Uchas Chal, in Uchas Matz, in Uchas Amoytzi, about the others, the rock, the stick dough, stim dough, baking, cooking, fried. Very, very complicated sugyas about how to create lechem in the first place. But even Zolzai, even the Nich that we have a lechem, can anything be done to negate the Shem lechem? So the answer is yes, but the answer is not so simple. What is the yes to? Namely, what exactly has to happen to negate the Shem lechem? So there is a big machlekes in Rishonim as to how to understand that Gemara in Ketzim Mevarchim. We're going to present the view that is Shitas HaTosus, that is Shitas Rabbein Yonah, that is ultimately accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. Rashi has a little bit of a different meaning of that sugi. We're not going to talk about that now. We're going to go with the accepted psak, the conventional wisdom most of the Rishonim bought into, and the later poskim accepted unequivocally, as appears in Shulchan Aruch, that when you finish the sugi and brachas, you come to the conclusion, you come to the realization that there are three different potential changes in the Shem Lechem. There are three different processes that could happen that may impact on the Shem Lechem. One of them is, I take a piece of bread, or I take a piece of matzah, and I just crumble it into little pieces. I make it into breadcrumbs, or make it into matzah meal. Now what? Was I mevatel the Shem Lechem? I didn't do anything. I didn't put it into water, I didn't cook it, I didn't put it in heat. I just broke it into Beit Chan Ad HaShadok. So come to Shulchan Aruch, quotes from Tosfos, from Rabbi Yonah, that say, nothing changed. Just merely crumbling up a piece of matzah doesn't change its status. It's Lechem Gom L'chol Din Yaterah. And on the level of the rice, you can be eating matzah with that. So let's say a person has trouble chewing a piece of matzah. You can take a spoonful of matzah meal, a kezias worth of matzah meal, and you can just simply swallow a kezias of matzah meal. You can be yating amidst the rice of matzah. It's said over in the name that the Briska Rav, in the later years, Briska Rav was very, very sick. He had stomach issues towards the end of his life. And they say that, I don't know how many psachim he did this, but that sometimes at the end of his life, he would be yaitzei matzah that way at the Seder because it was too hard for him to digest the actual matzah. With mamish, they would break up shmur matzah, break it into little mamish in the matzah meal, and he would eat a kezias of shmur matzah meal. So that's the din in Shulchan Aruch. That's the favorite we're asking like. So category number one is just grinding it up doesn't change the status. Category number two is, what if I take a piece of bread, a piece of matzah, and I subsequently cook it? So it was already baked, so it had a shei matzah on it first, had a shei lechem on it first. I take it and I put it into a pot of boiling water. The worst, klivishon al eish, the worst case scenario, I mamish cook up the piece of bread, cook the piece of matzah. Those who are machber and gebrachos are probably sweating as we speak right now, so just ignore that for right now. So I take my piece of challah and I put it into a pot of soup, and I take it out, now what? Can I be yaitzei? Can't be yaitzei matzah with the challah. Can I make a hamotzi on that? Do I wash and bench on that? If it would be a piece of matzah, can I be yaitzei matzah? What's the din? So here the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows, that, quoting from Tosfos, that if the piece of bread that went into the pot of soup was still a kezias, that's considered to be a shir of chashivos, and that shir chashivos of a kezias is not in his batla, it's not in his batla just by merely putting it to a kli rishon. So putting it to a kli rishon doesn't negate the shev lechem, provided that it had that shir of chashivos of a kezias to begin with. But if it was less than a kezias, and I put it into a pot of water, then the game's over. The post can say, let's say I take a piece of matzah, I break it into matzah meal, and then I take the whole matzah meal and throw into a pot of water, that's like less than a kezias. Each piece is judged on its own. You know what we call that, everybody say? That's called a knedel, called a matzah ball. Matzah ball means that you take a little piece of ground up matzah and you mix it with some stuff and throw it into a pot of water and you cook it up. That becomes a knedel. A knedel is not hamoitzi. You can't be yotzei achilas matzah with a knedel. That's the reason why the Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to eat knedel on Erev Pesach, because you can't be yotzei achilas matzah with a knedel. For a variety of reasons, you can't be yotzei. There are some who have a chumrah that maybe you can't eat knedel on Erev Pesach for a different reason. Tamat, another story, but not for now. But getting back to the story, so if you take a piece of bread, take a piece of matzah, and throw it into a pot of soup, if the piece of bread or matzah was already a kezias, it doesn't lose the status of lechem. If it was less than a kezias, then it does. That's category number two. Category number three is, I take a piece of bread, a piece of matzah, I do not put it into a pot of soup, but I mix it with other kinds of liquids. Maybe I mix it with some honey, maybe I mix it with some oil, maybe I mix it with some eggs, and I make a whole mush out of it. We'll call it a challah kugel for now, or a matzah kugel for now. And then I rebake it, or I don't do anything else to it. I was never mevashal it. So this is where it parts ways from category number two. In category number two, a maisa bishul occurred, and that's a mevatel, kozman that wasn't a kezias. Category number three, it wasn't mizbashel, it was merely mixed with other liquids, but it was never really eventually mizbashel. Then what are the criteria? So here the Gemara says as follows, the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. If it's a kezias, for sure it retains the shem lechem. Kavachayim and maduch, when it was nisbashel, it retains the shem lechem with the kezias. For sure, if it wasn't nisbashel. But here's the chiddush: even if it's less than a kezias, if it's still recognizable as bread, it's what's called, it still has tzura sapas. You look at this kugel and say, I could see the little piece of chal here. I could see the little piece of matzah here. As long as it's recognizable as such, so that is sufficient to fulfill the din of lechem. It retains the shem lechem. Even though the pieces were less than the kezias, that doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me. Even though the pieces were less than the kezias, one could still call this lechem because it's less tzuras apas. So that condition of tzuras apas that's able to retain the shem lechem, that is unique to if a bishul didn't occur. But if a bishul occurred, then the game's over once it dips beneath the point of kezias. So again, three categories. If nothing was really done to it, just crushed into pieces, always hamotzi, always lechem, always matzah. If it was cooked, the only thing that matters is yes kezias, no kezias. If it wasn't cooked, it was just mixed with other liquids and kind of in that same status, never really cooked. So then the din is that either a kezias will save the shem lechem, or to its apostle will save the shem lechem. Just as an aside, if you have a piece of matzah that was mevusheles, take a big piece of matzah, throw it into a pot of soup, even if it's more than a kezias, even though it has a shem lechem, it has not lost the Shem Lechem. It happens to be for a quirk. You can't be yaitzei matzah with it. For a totally different reason. Matzah mevusheles is not acceptable. even though it's still called lechem. So in theory, the bracha should probably be a moitzi on it, because the pieces are more than a kazayis, it's still no good for matzah. My high, manish not a matzah, no pun intended. Why is matzah different? Because the Gemara says, ba'inan ta'am matzah v'leika, which is a big machlekes v'sham, what in the world does that mean? You need to taste the matzah. So Rabbeinu Yonah, the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah Berachas, draw their hands up and say, since when do you have to taste the matzah? The Gemara in Pesachim says you can just gulp down a piece of matzah in your yaitzeh, even lo ta'am matzah in your yaitzeh. So why does the Gemara say, ba'inan ta'am matzah v'leika? So Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah say what the Gemara really means is that if you take a piece of matzah and you cook it, that's a chisan in lechem oini. It's not a chisan in the lechem shaboy. It's not a din klali and kol ta'akula as nishkin lechem. It's chalon, it's the chefts of lechem is retained, but it's not called lechem oini. That's too fancy. The poor people don't sit and make matzah kugels. The poor people don't sit and put matzahs into their soup. They just munch away in the matzah quickly. So anytime you superimpose a bishul on a piece of matzah, you are asking for trouble. You're creating a hafkof in the din lechem oini, and therefore you can be yaitzi by the lela seider. That's our Rabbeinu Yonah learns pshat. Other Rishonim seem to learn, maybe not. Maybe there is a din of ta'am matzah. I think Gemara says, it's not true. The Gemara says, bola matzah yotza. If you bola mora, you're not yotza. Mora requires ta'am mora, because by mora is chayem. Since mora is part of the mitzvah mora, is the zeichot, is the mora is chayem. So Gemara says, if you don't taste the mora, you're not yotza. But if you don't taste the matzah, you are yotza. So someone argue, that means if you as a gavra don't taste the matzah. But if the chevtza is mufka from ta'am, if there is no ta'am, where the ta'am has been altered, the ta'am has been changed to the point where the tam matzah is botel for the chevtza shabai, so it's like ain't a royal labila. It means there's a chisan in the chevtza. The chevtza is not royal kach. The tam matzah you can't be yaitzim with the yemen. That's the machlekes rishayim. That's in the end of the yemen. Why is matzah b'mushalos no good? But the pash the dvarim is that matzah b'mushalos is not a chisan in the shem lechem shabai. Either it's a chisan in lechem oini shabai, or it's a chisan in the chevtza of the tam matzah b'inan. But in terms of the etzem shem lechem has not been his botel. Calls matzah is still a kazayis. So the bottom line, getting back to this bracha, so we have our three categories, crushed up, mizbashel, and mixed with liquids. But now the million-dollar question becomes, how do you know whether this particular item experienced bishul or not? So Shulchan Aruch, the 13th Mamakom, spells out all three categories. But now the question becomes, well, how do I know whether I'm any given category? So if I take a piece of matzah, a piece of bread, and I put it into a pot of soup, and the fire is on, lace mandapoli. That's obviously that's called lechem shenis bashel. But what if it's not as extreme as that? So comes the Magen Avraham in the 14th in the Bar Mekoymes, and he says as follows: "This bashel, vos beitnish bashel." Says the Magen Avraham, "The haynu shenosan alechem bekli rishayin." What it means is you took the lechem, put it into a pot of soup on the fire, kli rishayin. That is lechem shenis bashel. Then and only then is the game over. Avals of the Magen Avraham. What if I take little pieces of bread and I break them into less than a kezayis and I put them into a plate? The ira la'raischin and I pour boiling water onto them. Quotes from the Bishayi say from the Rishayim. That's not called mizbashel. And if that's not called mizbashel, what is it? It's not category number two, but what is it? It's category number three in the stomach. Now I have this water mixing together with the bread. But the pieces are less than a kezayis, but that's still okay. Because remember, kol's man that a maisa lachik bishul hasn't taken place. So then that's category number three. And category number three can retain the shem lechem even without the share of kezayis, as long as you still have that factor of tzuras apas. So says the Magen Avraham, the name of the B'Shiyah Yisef, iroy onto a piece of bread is closer to the model of a challah kugel than it is to a piece of challah inside a pot of soup. Because Iri is not really a Mevashel, as I state in Magen Avraham. But now comes the Magen Avraham and says, you know what? Not so simple. Nearly, Me'acha she'esh machloikis b'yardeya simen sabaches, im Iri Mevashel m'kli rishon. It's not so simple, says the Magen Avraham. There is a machloikis in Poskim in Yardeya whether Iri is Mevashel. What is simen sabaches about? Anyone know? It's a simen about pouring boiling water on chickens before you kasha them. Remember we said that if you mevashel the blood inside the chicken, once dam is this mevashel, it's done. It's history. You can't kasher it anymore. It won't come out anymore. So there's a machlekes rishayim. Can you pour boiling water onto the chickens? And remember, we spoke about this at Tyson about Zara, about taking the ladles and pouring onto the chicken. Remember, can you pour from the boiling water onto the chickens? So there's a shayla and shulchan aruch. You're allowed to do that. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, it's an unresolved shayla. But nobody today will advocate pouring boiling water onto chickens. So we treat it as a potential bishul. L'chein, zokter, yesh l'mnoyesh l'olecho perurin shira l'emich l'rishon. If you have little small pieces of bread that are less than a kezayis and you pour boiling water onto them, says the Magen Avraham, I'm not sure what bracha to make. V'nir she'esh lo bo toyer lechem. If it has toyer lechem, if it has toyer sabas, then you're right smack between category number two and category number three. We are not sure whether you belong in category number two. That would be, it's a shame, bishul, because bishul occurred, and a bishul occurred, if it's less than a kezayis, the bracha leaves hamotzi, goes down to mezainis. Or maybe we're wrong. Maybe we, by incorrectly putting it to category number two, maybe iru is not a maisa bishul, and therefore it's more correct to put it to category number three. And in category number three, so then if it has true sapas, you would still have to make a moitzi, even though it's less than a kezayis. So the Magen Avraham throws his hands up, tucked away, Magen Avraham, kufsa mechesnuch his brachas, throws his hands up and says, I don't know what to do. And now he makes matters worse. The kol shegain's up there. Kishe oichel harbe atche saveya mimenu. Let's say a person ate a lot of this kind of bread. So now we have a shot of the deraisa of brachas amazon. If apidin, it's still called bread. If apidin, this is category number three, it's still called bread. These are categories deraisa. These klom, klom deraisa. Chazal understood this is what's keveya. But if the shem lechem was this bottle and love of deraisa. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, if you ate kidei svi, a guy ate 14 challah rolls that were cooked through Iroi Kli Rishon. So he says, I have no idea what to tell the guy. According to the Rashbam, they didn't experience Bishul. So therefore, the bracha remains a moitzi, even in the lesson of Kazayas. But according to others, they did experience Bishul. What do you do? Havi savi deraisa, yivarach b'chaz amazim. The Magen Avraham throws his hands up, l'chein yivarach ha-pas achet chila. Says the only thing I can tell you to do is have something, some regular bread first. Have something that's really bread, the choladeus, like pizza or something. I'm just kidding, okay? Have something that's really bread, that for sure, there's no suffix on. Have that first, and then you can eat as much as you want. Yochel another of these bowl, and you can bench without a question. But the Magen Avraham left us in the dark, left us hanging with his hands up. I don't know, Zok the Magen Avraham. I can't be Machriya. Yeah, Bishul, near Bishul, we don't know. So at the end of the day, what is the answer to our question? Do we say that Iri is Mavashal or not? So from Yerideya, the previous did in Yerideya, and Simon Tzadi Beis, and Belias, yeah, but Bishul, I have no idea. All I learned from that Ramah is that the Yesh Refashim Taisus in Zvachim was rejected. Whether ultimately when Machriya like the Rashbam or Ben Adam is still unclear, and now in Uchaz Brachas, the Magen Avraham is not really committing one way or the other. It is not a great surprise that in Shulchan Aruch, in the 15th of the Maamar Kaimus, Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Uchaz Shabbos and Shin Yuches, also litein tavlin b'ka'ara, v'laros alein b'kli Rishon. One is not allowed to pour hot water from b'kli Rishon and pour it directly onto spices. That is a no-no, says the Shulchan Aruch, because that is iri kli Rishon, and even if you're not chayshish for tazim zvachim zesh refarshim, at least you're better, you better be chayshish for. And that is a potential shail of mamash of a deraisa. So Pashup Shad is that the Shulchan Aruch is very, very serious about this. Now again, in the end of the day, we're not going to do it anyway because we're chayshid of the klishenis. But the Shulchan Aruch is telling, even without the chashashas of the Sefer Reim's klishen, even without Kali Abishal, even Tavlin, which at least we did in the Gemara, is not Kali Abishal. Again, we don't even know where the Tavlin today is. That who remembers of Shlomo Zalman we spoke about others who disagreed about the Talmud, Reb Chaim, the story of Reb Chaim, with the Mishnah Berurah, with Shlomo Zalman. So we're not quite sure where our Tavlin fit in Bizman Hazeh, but even the Tavlin of old, even the big cinnamon sticks, the Shulchan Aruch says, B'shum panim v'oifen, even though technically we didn't give our Tavlin on Mutter Rechusheini, also litin Tavlin v'karav l'aslam v'chirishon, that's a Shavit deraisa, can't do that, make Rabbeinu Tam's right. How right is Rabbeinu Tam? How concerned for Rabbeinu Tam are we? So the Magen Avraham, the 16th of the Maamar Kaimus tells us, V'im ira. What if a person did it? What if a person went ahead and didn't listen to Shulchan Aruch, didn't come to Shia this week, and went ahead and he poured boiling water onto his tea bag? That's what he did. He poured, forget about Kali Abishal. He poured boiling water onto his cinnamon stick. He poured onto his ginger stick. He poured Kali Abishal. Onto Tavlin Mamish. What would we say after the fact? Zokta Magen Avraham, Ira, Azai HaKlipa, Asura, Dinispash, for the Shabbos. Says the Magen Avraham, we would have to treat this as part of the category of Maisa Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that anytime something was cooked on Shabbos, that's a potential problem of Maisa Shabbos. As the Machlokes Amoraim, is that a problem D'Oraisa or a problem D'Rabbanan? We paskin it's only a problem with D'Rabbanan as a Knas. There was one opinion in the Gemara that maintained, Ushmartim is a Shabbos ki Kodesh Ilochem. Shabbos is called Kodesh. Mahi Kodesh av Maser Kodesh. One opinion said that any food that was cooked or any other Malachat done on Shabbos creates an Isser mid D'Oraisa. And we do not accept that view. We pass him as a Shabbos as only midirabbanan as a knas. Therefore, there are different opinions in Tanoim. Is it only us to be mezid? Is it even us to be shaygig? Is it only us to be you? Is it us to everybody else? This gets very, very tricky. Whenever you deal with knasos, so different knasos were formulated by Chazal in different ways. Let's say for the marshal in Yonad Yom, chamish over Pesach is a knas. Midaraisa, any chametz that was owned by a Jew after Pesach is mutter. We pass like Rabbi Shimon that there's no issue deraisa and chametz after Pesach. But as midarabanan, the Gemara tells us, we pass in as a knas. They made a penalty because you violated by Rabbi Motze. So this particular knas, we pass in kansu shoyga to mezid. Even if a person violated by a rabbi mistake, he didn't even know it was Pesach. He wasn't. He didn't realize yet. Whatever it was, something came up, and it was really a shoyga. It really wasn't his fault. We still hold it as a knas. We assume the knas of chamish Pesach twice for all other people as well. It is not only on the Baal Aveira himself. That's a further issue by other knasos. There's one day in Rishayim, one lone collector's item shita in the Sefer HaMichtam. The Sefer HaMichtam is a Rishayim that we have his chedu. We don't have too many things from him, but we have him in Maseches Pesachim. And in Maseches Pesachim, he suggests that maybe the knas, the Rabban of Chamash Pesach, was only instituted for the Baal Aveir himself, not for other people. That would be a gevaldik akula. That would make life so much easier, except that nobody before, after, and paskin that way. And Shulchan Aruch is not even quoted. Shulchan Aruch probably never even saw the Sefer Michtam. So we do not follow that. It was a shita that was suggested in Mishayin, but Lamais has been long, long outvoted. So this knas of Maisa Shabbos is a tricky one because it's actually machlekes that the Ram machlekes we share him at a paskin was the knas only b'mezid and b'shegig for me, for you, for other. Okay. There are nuances, but b'ikaron the knas is there. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says if a person poured hot water onto a tea bag on Shabbos or onto the tavel on Shabbos, we have to ask for the food even with the evet. Why? So the Magen Avraham continues that Rabbi Natam di'exemi amishad the Shabbos because Rabbi Natam shita ayin b'taisus who poshut. The afilu the man the yama called klishenim of liam maflit on the isav hetter on the Shabbos and also those should be bashel etc. So he says, don't hack with klisheni. Klisheni is a different story. I'm not learning the sugi klisheni right now. Says the Magen Avraham. But even mitam irik levishon, you have a big problem because we have to be choshesh rabbeinu tam. So what did the Magen Avraham mean when he said we have to be the ever ask of the food because maybe rabbeinu tam's right? So maybe this is just part of the Magen Avraham's general theory in the sugya. The Magen Avraham threw his hands up back and brachas kufsamaches and didn't know ultimately should we follow Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. So the Magen Avraham is covering himself on all bases. The Magen Avraham is saying, I have no idea what the final outcome is. Lalach. I have no idea whether the Rashbam or Rabbeinu Tam should be accepted. And therefore, in uchas brachas, we treat it as a sfeik in the dina. And therefore, the Magen Avraham didn't know what bracha to make and all those foods. In uchas Shabbos, we treat it as a sfeik in the dina. And therefore, we're not going to let you pour the boiling water on. On the other hand, if it happens, we're going to make you refrain from eating it. So, l'chumra, but there is suffix, we're going to have to make this kenas on you. Is that all the Magen Avraham meant? That he was just cheshish Rabbeinu Tam? So it's a little bit difficult because there is another Magen Avraham in the 17th of the Mamakom. It's about a different aspect of Maaseh Shabbos. But the Magen Avraham makes the following observation. The efshad yesh l'hokal b'di'evet b'achad yesh batirin l'chadchila. The Magen Avraham develops the aside that the Prima Gadim follows and the Mishnah quotes this also to some degree, that we have a rule in Maaseh Shabbos. Maaseh Shabbos is only the Rabban. We don't accept that view in the Gemara that food cooked in Shabbos is also in the Torah. We hold it's only also the Rabban as a Kenaz. And as a Kenaz, it's in a certain sense a low-level Issa the Rabban. As a low-level Issa the Rabban, and therefore we have the right to say as follows. Says the Magen Avraham, if we know for a fact that this particular action that you just did is really Asr, then we have no choice but to invoke this knas. We have to make a knas with the other. So if a guy takes raw food, takes a raw piece of chicken, puts it into a pot of water, turns on the fire, and cooks it up on Shabbos, that's Maaseh Shabbos. That's Mavash Shabbos, you can't eat that food. But if you do something that's a big machlokes, there are some yesh matir lechatchila. There are some activities that there are some great misham, some great poskim who say, I'm not even lechatchila. So says the Magen Avraham in Shin Chav Gimel, vis-a-vis being matir lechatchila, that we're not going to do, but after the fact, did the Eved institute a knas and a guy who, if he would have asked Rishon Ploini, he would have gotten a green light to do it. So Bechia Gavna Lo Kansu. That's the klal from the Magen Avraham. So the Chora, if you put together the three Magen Avrahams we just read, there seems to be almost an internal contradiction. The Magen Avraham in Uchas Bracha said that we're not really sure Rabbeinu Tam's right. We think he may be right, but maybe the Rashbam's right. So the Magen Avraham in Uchas Bracha threw his hands up and said, it's a snake in the Dina. The Magen Avraham in Shin Chav Gimel says, whenever there's a sfeik in the Dina, b'di'eved, we don't make a knas. But yet the Magen Avraham himself in Shin Yud Ches was the one who said, you do make the knas. The Magen Avraham himself is the one who says, that if you poured hot water onto a tea bag, onto the tavlin, with the evid, you cannot eat that food. So I don't understand the three-way stira, three-pronged stira in Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham himself says it's only a sfeik d'dina in Hilchos Brachos. Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, Shemchov Gimel says whenever there's a sfeik d'dina, with the evid, it's okay. And yet the Magen Avraham turns around, Shemchov Yudachas says that it's also with the evid. So if someone could solve that riddle in the Magen Avraham for me, I would greatly appreciate it. I don't know the answer to the Shittas of Magen Avraham. However, the question is, where do we go from here? Lamaisa, where should we go from here? So what would we say halach lamaisa about such a case? Like I cooked by mistake something with the Iri Kli Rishon, would we ask for the Evan Maisa Shabbos or not? So I'll tell you a story. Maisa Shabbos Kachoya. The story goes back over 30 years ago. It was approximately about 32 years ago when I was learning in Kembi Avna. I learned in Kembi Avna in three different Gilgulim. So this was the third Gilgulim I learned in Kembi Avna. This was after I was ready in Smicha. In those days, they would actually let you do some Smicha credits even in other institutions besides the YU institutions. I was actually able to get Smicha credit while I was learning back in Kembi Avna after I graduated college. So I don't think that that option exists anymore. So I was learning in Kembi Avna, and I went, I think it was during Ben Azmanim, I went away for Shabbos to a family that I knew from Riverdale. And that particular Shabbos, that Friday night, the father asked one of the young girls, one of the teenage girls, to make him a cup of tea. And the girl didn't know what the halacha was, wasn't aware, whatever it was, she didn't know what was going on exactly. She took a tea bag, put it into a cup, that's how he wanted to bring from the scents, whatever it was. She took a tea bag, put it into a cup, went over to the urn and poured boiling water, or tea kettle, whatever it was, poured it directly onto the tea bag. And she brought the cup of tea to her father. So he was about Rachi learning. So he said, "I got fault." He said, "He just made tea on Shabbos." So he turned to me and he said, "What's the din now? Am I allowed to drink the tea or do I have to spill out the tea?" That was a question he posed to me 30 plus years ago. So I said to him, "This is machlekes rishonim about whether an issa bishul occurred or not." He said, according to Rabbeinu Tam, an issa deraisa bishul just occurred b'shagig. The girl didn't know. According to the Rashbam himself would have made the tea that way for you. It's het gomor. It's not even Reb Chaim. This is worse Reb Chaim. This is Iri Kli Rishon. According to Rabbeinu Tam, an issa deraisa just occurred. According to the Rashbam, it was het gomor. I quoted the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Chav Gimel that says that whenever you have a sveika d'dina, so you're allowed to rely on the mekilim b'di'evet. But at the time, I did not remember, was not aware of the other Magen Avraham, Shin Yud Ches, where the Magen Avraham talks about this very case. And he says, this case is not also with the Evan. So I extrapolated the Magen Avraham, Shin Chav Gimel, that whenever there's a Suffolk, and there was a Suffolk, Machlokes Rashbam Bin Tam, I don't think I knew the Magen Avraham, Shin Chav Brachos at the time, but I put together this Magen Avraham, Shin Chav Gimel, I said, according to this Magen Avraham, it should be more with the Evan to drink the tea. So that was what I said. So this particular person said to me, I want to live my life lechatchila. I don't want to live my life b'di'evet. And he spilled out the tea. Now, I'm not sure that was an accurate presentation of the idea of living your life lechatchila or not. That's a very long shaila. But there would be an Indian to be machmer lechatchila not to rely on the b'di'evet Magen Avraham. I'm not sure. But Igloy Milsa, he was right and I was wrong. Because he was machavin to the other Magen Avraham that says it's also mikradin. So years later, I heard that the Chazon Ish, and I saw in the Chazon Ish who says, that we cannot be maker for the Rashbam, even b'di'evet, because the Rashbam sheet is basically nitcha min ha'alocha. Means we have a rule, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Niv, we spoke about this a while ago, about kedai plen l'smachol b'shas adchak. When did we talk about that? By the Chodesh, we spoke about it, but how did it apply to your day?
By the bugs with the 9/16.
Oh, right, yeah, very good, excellent, good. Thank you. About the Rabbi Yonasan Ivishit school, about relying on the Rishonim, would say that bears a tail of 960, right? So the Gemara Nida says that Kol Zman, that a certain sheet was not negated, was not rejected outright, was not outvoted, wasn't over the minion. So when the Shasar Chak arises, you can bring that sheet back to life. But if it was Nimnu V'gomer against a particular sheet, then the sheet can no longer be brought back to life. So the Chazon Ish writes that normally the days of the Gemara, you have Nimnu V'gomeru, when there was an official Moshe Bezin, Pesach of the Gemara, there was an official under the minion. As far as that, we don't really do that anymore. We don't sit around and have rabbinic conventions to outvote Rishonim. The only way that Shittas and Rishonim can get outvoted, get rejected, is if basically the whole flow of all the Pesach, the halachic process, in a sense, rejects that Shittas. So you have certain Shittas and Rishonim that we just push it not accepted. By the time the Shulchan Aruch came around, that shita was already, in the days of Rishonim, maybe it was a popular shita, but in the later years, that was the Lamashal, Rabbi Natam shita about the Seder Parshas of Tefillin. In the days of the Rishonim, in the early Rishonim, days of Rashi and Tosfos, so Rabbi Natam shita was a very viable shita. Rabbi Natam himself wore Rabbi Natam Tefillin. And anyone who wore Rabbi Natam Tefillin, following Rabbi Natam, was yaitzid the mitzvah Tefillin. Because the Torah is given to us, api ha-teira asherucha, we have to follow the mitzvah Torah, api ha-mitzvah tia Torah, the Rabbim writes, you have to perform the mitzvah Torah pi a mitzvah. The mitzvah means the parish of the Torah Shabbat. You have to follow the klali halacha, and if the klali halacha dictate that your rebbe says that this is the parashas tefillin, that's the, for you. That's the mitzvah shatim la'aseh adecha. If a person today would put on Rabbi Natam tefillin, he would not be yaitzid the mitzvah at all. Some people put it on for other reasons, achumras, whatever, hidurim, kabbalah, nista, whatever other reasons people put on. But if a person today would make a laniach tefillin and break a bracha on Rabbi Natan tefillin, that's a bracha levatal. Because by the days of the Shulchan Aruch, already the pendulum had swung, the Rabbi Natan shita was rejected, and therefore, bizman hazeh, it's nilchem in halacha. And therefore, we don't follow Rabbi Natan shita anymore. And so too over here, says the Chazanish, sometimes shitas in Rishonim ended up being nilchem in halacha, and therefore you can't rely on them even b'shas echak, and therefore they don't even constitute the latest asafek, and you can't even call it a safek derban lakul, you can't even be make it by knossos b'dievet, because that shita was just rejected outright. The Chaznish suggests that the Rashbam shita was rejected outright. Now, that would make sense with the Magen Avraham and Shin Yud Ches. That would explain why the Magen Avraham was not willing to be make it b'dievet. The problem is the Magen Avraham and Chaz Brachas didn't sound like he outright rejected the Rashbam. He sounds like he was very, very bothered about the Rashbam. He's not letting the guy eat his bread because he's chashish for the Rashbam. So it's not so clear. It's not so clear that the Magen Avraham really, truly rejected the Rashbam. But the Chazanish claims the Rashbam sheet is nidcha legamrei. I remember Rabbi Willie wasn't so sure. How do you know whether a given sheet is nidcha min halacha legamrei? The Rashbam is not a nobody. The Rashbam was a bar pluk, the royal lekach, to argue. He was older brother of Rabbi Natan. The Rashbam had many, many gemaras that sided with potentially with him. He had Rishalmis that maybe sided with him. Every mokka that we saw in the last 2 days could go either way. I'm not going to be mechriyah between the Rashbam and Rabbi Natan. So I'm not quite sure what to do with this tea. I mean, it's 30 years later. They spilled it out a long time ago. So the tea is long gone, but I'm not sure. On the one hand, the Magen Avraham asks it b'di'evet. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham himself should have been ma'atzer b'di'evet. The Chazanish asks it b'di'evet because it's nirch min halacha, but we're not even sure it's nirch min halacha. I'm not sure what to do with this tea. So Achim goes on this tea. So I guess maybe it was better that he spilled out the tea 30 plus years ago. But it had a happy ending, believe it or not. Many years later, this is a Wire Connect story. Not literally, but a Shidduchim story. Many years later, somebody called me about this particular family, about a shidduch, one of the members of the family. I don't think it was about the daughter who poured the tea, but a different member of the family. They wanted to know about one of the children of the family. So I said, they're a wonderful, wonderful family. Really, really, very, very fine. I'm going to tell you one story, I said to the person who called me, that will encapsulate the essence of that family. And the person who called me, I don't remember who it was. I don't know whether they were savvy enough to understand the nuances of the Rashbam and the Metam and the series of Magen Avrams. But I cut all the sideshow and I got to the punchline. I told the story and I said, many years later, I still remember that line that the father said. The father's no longer alive. But the father said, B'shaito, that the father said, he said, listen, I want to live my life l'chatchila, not b'di'evet. I said, that's the family. They were a lechatchil dika family, not a b'di'evdika family. So that's a good sign for shidduchim. You want to marry into a family. You don't want a family that everything's b'di'evd. The whole existence is shas l'chak. You know, today we're living in a very, very shas l'chak situation. So we have to have certain coolers that maybe we wouldn't rely on in the normal circumstances. So we're one big shas l'chak. But we hope and pray this is not going to last forever. So we hope someday Zoom will be over, come back to life. Remember our good old shir room still waiting for us at some point in the near future, we hope. So Rabbi Isai, we try. Hopefully, our lives should be lechatchilatik lives. So, again, I don't know whether this particular shidduch went through. The person who asked about did get married. I never followed up whether it was that shidduch or another shidduch. I don't know. But all's well that ends well. Everyone's got married. But that, you never know. But a statement that you make may come back either to help you or to haunt you many, many years later. So, when you get involved in the parasha shidduchim, many of you are, so be careful. Things that you say may be repeated to your grandchildren in years to come. as Rabbi Willig once said to me, had a good line. He said that you should really be nice to everybody. You should be nice to everybody for always. He said, be nice to everybody. Don't get into a fight with anybody because you never know who your mechutanim are going to be. You don't know who your grandchildren are going to marry. So they may be married the grandchildren of that person you got into a fight with 40 years ago. So smile and be nice to everybody. It may pay off for you down the line. And even if it doesn't, it's still a nice idea. I have to recommend a question. Smile to everybody. Good. Back to that story. So if I say, so, can we give an absolute answer about Eroi? I'm not even sure what I can say about Eroi. I can tell you a lot of Makaris about it, but I'm not sure what the answer is. But I want to just pick up on two last akudas related to Eroi. Almost like a little bit of a wrinkle of Eroi. A little bit of complications of Eroi. Not pure Eroi. We have enough trouble understanding pure Eroi. Not trouble, enough Gavaldic understanding pure Eroi. Let's change the scenarios of Eroi for a minute. Let's go back to not pure Eroi, but drippy drops of Eroi. What we call Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach. An Eroi that is not a continuous flow, that's more of a drippy drop kind of a thing. Where would we put that? So if you remember, the only source we had to lead us to believe that that is even a different category was where Rabbi Say, which Rishon was the only one we saw in print to tell us that that even means something, Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach. That even indicated it's any different than regular Eroi. Who was that?
Yesh Mepharshim.
Yesh Mepharshim and Tosis. And why do they have to say that? Because the Yesh Mepharshim held that real pure Eroi, the real continuous flow of Eroi is Mevasha Bekulo, not Kedei Kli, but Bekulo. So they had a problem. Hey, wait a second. If real Eroi is Mevasha Bekulo, what's going on with the Gemara and Zavacha about Chamasach Tzainin? How could that be? So the Yesh Mepharshim had to come up with a new make-believe category, a brand new category. Called Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach, and when it says Hakiluach, then that's significantly better. Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach, that's much, much, much better. Less of a problem. Not so terrible, not so gefährlich. In Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach. But short of that Yesh Mefarshim, we didn't see anybody who even said it. Until the Ramah came along. Zok the Ramah, in the 12th of the Ramah comes. The Ramah said, this is the line that we deliberately deleted before. Now let's read it. If the kiluach stops, this is cliche. Who said that? Who is responsible for that statement? That Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach is nothing. Nothing happens. Even the Yesh Mefarshim didn't say that. Because the Yesh Mefarshim learned that the Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach is the Sugya in Psachim. But Rabbi said, what did the Gemara in Psachim say happens in the Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach? What happens? At least it's what? What degree of penetration, what degree of belief takes place according to Tosfos Zvachim in Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach? At least that's the Gemara. The case in the Gemara of Chamasach Tzainin, Zaptaisis, and Zvachim, we saw this Beferish, Eidin and Mepharshim, that Gemara is Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach. So Tzainin Zvachim, who was the source for Eroi Shenifsak Hakiluach, never said nothing happens. They said less than usual happens. It's not Bekula Tzor Kedei Klipa. Which Rishon says that nothing happens? The Ramah said it. The Ramah's extrapolating, the Ramah's quoting from Rishayim, he's quoting from Sharidura, he's quoting from Aaron Ruthenberg, that we who don't really accept the Yesh Mefarshim and Tosfos, we hold basically like Rabbeinu Tam. Remember, the Ramah basically passes like Rabbeinu Tam, because the Ramah says, and the next line in Maamar Machlokes number 12, if it's not Nifsach, then it asks us the Klipa and asks us the pot, not the food inside. So the Ramah is basically Bikvish Rabbeinu Tam. So according to the Ramah, Ramah is borrowing something from the Yesh Mefarshim and plugging it into Rabbeinu Tam. Just as according to the Yesh Mefarshim, there's a difference between Nifsak HaKiluach versus not Nifsak HaKiluach, so too in the world of Rabbeinu Tam, there must be a difference. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam would concede that if it's Nifsak, it's not Mavliyah at all. Zero. That's what the Ramah is. So state in Ramah, you're this. Everyone chopped this. The Ramah picked and chose. He took the Yesh Mefarshim's chiluk of Nifsak Hakiluach, which Rabbeinu Tam never heard of, didn't even need, and he plugged it into Rabbeinu Tam's watered-down version of Eroi, and put two and two together and said, if it's lo nizrach luch mevashal mevliach deklipa, if it's nizrach luch garnish fin garnish, nothing happens. Absolutely good, good to go. That's quite a Ramah. Not everyone agrees to this Ramah. Anyone know a potential, very real live ramification of this Ramah? This Ramah is true. This could be really, really helpful for us. This could be phenomenally helpful for us in dishwashers. One of the big issues involving dishwashers, and now's not the time. Hopefully we'll talk about dishwashers later on. We'll talk about the washing of dishes sugars, not sugars. Those are closer to June's amount sugars. But one of the big issues involving dishwashers is what degree of bli is actually taking place. So the kits and nimbus where the dishwashers work is that there's a source of hot water, and the hot water gets onto the kalim, and it's spritzed around. There's a wand that sprays around the water all around, and now you could potentially have water that's picking up flacic particles and shooting those particles against the walls of the dishwasher. Then you can have, an hour later, the water is taking milchik particles off your milchik dishes if you're using the dishwasher for both, and it's shooting it against the same wall, and now you'll be tracing everything up. But that's the bad news. The good news is that shooting is not a continuous flow, it's a spray. And as a spray, it's much closer in halacha to the ma'al of nivsach hakiluach, which according to the Ramah may not be a problem altogether. May only be klisheini. Now again, we're not like thrilled with that idea, because we're not so thrilled that klisheini is not mavliotia. Remember, that was also a loaded statement. But within the world of the Ramah, the Ramah is very, very makel. The Ramah must be the biggest makel in klisheinis, because he holds that klisheini is fundamentally not mavliya. He holds that davagush is fundamentally klisheinis. And he held that Irish Chachluch is fundamentally klisheini. The Ramah has three big coolers in our sugya. So again, the Ramah got it as a big chiddush. He combined Rabbi Tam with the Eshra Farshim and came up with this new entity called Irish Chachluch, not being mafli at all, which is a chiddush gadol. And again, hopefully when we talk about dishwashers down the line, it may become helpful. There's one other kind of Irishayla that requires some better analysis, which could also potentially become very, very relevant for us. If you think about the regular model of Eroi, how do you get from Klishon to Klisheni? I take the pot off the fire and pour it into a bowl. So Kuliyama Lepligi, that water in the bowl is Klisheni water. Now, what I'm allowed to do with that Klisheni water depends what you think about Klisheni. Whether it's Mavli or not depends what you think about Bli and Klisheni, but it's definitely Klisheni. I mean, it's hard to argue that's not called Klisheni. Took the pot off the fire, poured it into a bowl. That is the Klisheni Amar Bagamara. Comes the Chazinish and says, the model of Kli Rishon becoming Kli Sheni in the Gemara is talking about when the water was taken off the fire, like I just described, the pot being taken off the fire. What if, instead of taking the pot off the fire, what if I brought the bowl close to the fire and I just kind of tipped the pot over and have the contents of the pot go directly into the bowl, but the pot never left the fire? Fire's still on. Says the Chazinish, I don't think that water in the bowl is Kli Sheni water. I think that water in the bowl, believe it or not, is what? I think that's Kli Rishon water. How much Kli Rishon water? I think that's Kli Rishon water, says the Chaznish. Why is that Kli Rishon water? Because the water in the bowl is all Mitzurf Yachad. It's all Mechub Yachad. Through what? Through the Iroi. It means that flow of water is Mechaber Yachad, the water in the bowl, to the water in the pot, and we view the water in the bowl as being in the pot.
Question?
Yeah.
Isn't that our T-urn?
You better believe it's that T-urn. That's right. This is setting the stage for a potential disaster of making D enchantments. Now, this is a big chiddush of the Chazinish. Honestly, there are many poskim who never heard of such a thing. Other poskim don't mention this. Other poskim say it's not, the whole thing is not correct. But the Chazinish had this suggestion. According to the Chazinish, as Mr. Alter says correctly, our urns, until 3 minutes ago, we thought when you take water out of an urn and put it into a cup, we thought the water in that cup is Kli Sheni. According to the Chazinish, you're wrong. The water in that cup is Kli Rishon. Because the water exited the urn, it's an ongoing flow. It's an ongoing flow connected to the original source. The urn itself is a Kli Rishon. The heating elements, the electric hot coils inside are like a fire up in there. The water is Kli Rishon water, and the water in the cup is Kli Rishon as well. If you want to go ahead, according to the Chazinish, and put your tea bag into that cup, you're cooking in a Kli Rishon. I should log out the Eish, okay, but again, that's the last thing you want to do. That's a violation of the Mishnah of Kli Rishon. So even if you're not so worried about Kaleh Bishon, even if you're a Chaim, you're a Brisker, and you hold that cliche, and he's not Mavashal tea bags, says the Chazish, it's not cliche, it's Kli Rishon. Now, most of us don't cook, make tea in a Klisheni. Some people like to rely on Rav Moshe's Kli Shlishi. So many people will think, great, I went to the urn, I emptied from the urn into a cup, and from the cup to another cup, I'm good to go. No, you're not. You're one cup behind where you thought you were. You thought you were Kli Shlishi, I got bad news, you're only Kli Shlishi. Because according to the Chazon Ish, that first cup didn't register yet. According to the Chazon Ish, you need what we would call Kli Revi'i in order to be a Kli Shlishi. But the Chazon Ish help doesn't help anyway, so it's not going to help you. So now this is becoming important for us also. Many of us make tea with scents. So when we make scents before Shabbos, very often the scents is left out and now it's cold. And we want to put that scents into a boiling cup of water. So our minig is, the Mishnah Berurah says, no problem, as long as the boiling water is klisheni, so you can put the scents in. Why? Because we spoke about this earlier. Right? We mentioned this earlier. You don't have to combine the chumras that every klisheni is mevashal, everything is suffolk alei bishul, combined with yesh bishlach bishul b'davalach, ad kedekach, two chumras together don't have to add up. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskins outright, like those poskins say, as long as it's klisheni water and it's this bashel kol tzorko, even though it's a davalach shen stana, that's okay. So the oilam is noying that they take water from an urn, they put it into a cup, and then they go and they put the scents inside. And then very often they do that with coffee. They put milk inside. Why? Because the milk was already cooked, already pasteurized. The oilam is noying, klisheni, the Mishnah Berurah yid. What's the problem? Says the Chazon Ish, you're one step behind, you're one cup behind. So those who want to be chayshish at Chazon Ish on the urns would have to add another cup. And tea kettles would be okay as long as you took the tea kettle off the fire, but at urns, you would be one cup ahead. Again, I'm not saying you have to be chayshish at Chazon Ish. Many people disagree with it. You know, again, we have a lot of chumras flying around together here, but just be aware the Chazon Ish held you a one cup behind. Chazon Ish may also impact on something else. It may impact on our sinks as well. What's that take on sinks? How do we think that sinks receive bleas? What potential degree of kashrus do our sinks have? Both in terms of Bas B'chol, in terms of Chametz and Pesach. Just how bad can our sinks be? So the push-up shot is the absolute worst that sinks can be is Irik Kli Rishon. It means I'm afraid that during the course of the year, I probably did. I probably emptied some contents of the pot onto the sink. I may have poured boiling noodles onto the sink, water out of the chicken noodle soup. So it's very possible there's bleas gemuras of chametz in the walls of my sink that came about through the parish of Irik Kli Rishon. And therefore, there has to be kasher. I'm not saying not to kasher the sink, but Kibbol Kach Poto, and then we learned that normally Irui cannot be used to kasher, except if the bli happened through Irui. So easy come, easy go. If the bli happened through Irui, then the kasher could happen through Irui as well, which would translate to mean that if you want to kasher your sink, no big deal. Just take boiling water. You can't take water stop for the sink. What if the sink doesn't get to reischen? Doesn't get so hot? It's hot, but not boiling hot. So you'd have to take boiling water from a tea kettle, from a pot, and immediately dump it when it's, you take it off the fire and immediately dump it into the sink. That's an iroi from a Kli Rishon Shelog Gabi Eish, but that's as far as it ever got in the first place. It never got worse than that. It never had a blia from the soup pot that you originally dumped it into 6 months ago. It was also Shelog Gabi Eish. So an iroi can mimic what the original blias were. So it sounds like we're good to go. Unless someone's going to argue that our sinks are worse than just the blia of the iroi, unless you're going to argue that our sinks are Kli Rishon. How is a sink a Kli Rishon? According to the Chazon Ish, very simple. When you turn on the hot water, if the boiler happens to be on, which very often it is, so the water in the boiler is Kli Rishon water. You turn on the hot water, there is a continuous flow of Kli Rishon water coming through the pipes and entering into the sink. Until the Chazon Ish came along, I thought that was an urn. I thought that was Kli Sheni already. Says the Chazon Ish, no, not so fast, not so simple. Kozman, that the boiler is on, which during the course of the year, I could say certainty it was on at some point. If there was ever any chametz, ever any noodles, any stir, anything in your sink, and the hot water was turned on, you just cooked up chametz in a Kli Rishon, and the only way to kasher Kli Rishon is through Kli Rishon. You cannot kasher it any other way. How in the world are you going to kasher your sink with Kli Rishon? You can take your sink and put it into a pot. It's going to be very, very hard to do.
If your sinko is new,
what?
If your sinko is Kli Rishon in the beginning, then it's going to be a Kli Rishon Kabbalah Kachpolta also after.
Well, yeah. Well, you mean you want to, but the problem is not so simple. Not so simple, because the degree of heat of the water is not going to get to Roschen. It's possible you may have poured Roschen into the sink when the hot water was on. You may have gotten hotter than you can actually mimic. The only way you can be certain that you're kashering the sink properly, you have to get this sink to 212. How can you boil water in your sink? So there are ways to do it. There are immersion heaters, the way they're kunsev how to do it, to literally make your sink into a pot, so to speak, on the fire. Those who are chayshes or chazanish may require kashering in this method. I think most people do not kasher sinks that way. Most people rely on what was conventional wisdom, that the sink doesn't really have to be kasher to that extent, because the worst it ever was, it is much easier to kasher with simply the old pots of water. That was the old way. That's why everybody kashered sinks for years. And those who want to continue to do so may do so. But there are those who machmirim, there are those who insist on kashering the sinks by transforming the sink to become a Kli Rishon. Now, the Yemen says that sinks may have more coolers also. Hopefully we'll talk about this later on in the year. There are issues of possible not issues in sinks, and there are the po games in sinks, but often people use soap in sinks. There's nothing to with gum and Pesach, and it gets labedic. So there may be other extenuating factors that may be willing to tilt the balance in the direction of being makel on the sinks. The minhag ha'olam, I think, for the most part, is still to be makel on sinks, to treat it no worse than an iroi Kli Rishon. But again, as you can see, iroi is a very, very complicated sugya. And then even with an iroi, you have the quasi-iroi's. You have the iroi's of nifsakach luach, you have the iroi's when the fires are on. You got a lot of cases that we're not even sure what they are vis-a-vis iroi. So again, Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to learn the sugya of iroi. And this is really the end in terms of the three sugyas, the trilogy we had in terms of Kli Rishon. Remember, we learned Chul Kuftal. One line of the Gemara. It took us, we've been learning 3 weeks, one line of the Gemara, Kli Sheni Einam Avashel. We first had the first sugya was, why is that so? What's the difference in Lumdus conceptually in Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Then the second sugya was, once we know there's a difference, how do you define properly Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? And then the third sugya was the unique aspects of Iroi, that it takes really a sugya in and of itself to properly define the different shittas in Rishonim as to what exactly Iroi is all about. So we can make a siyum on Daf Kuf Dalet. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, tomorrow we'll have a little bit of the Yom Mishurim and send out the Mar Mekomos. So we'll talk a little bit about some, probably a little bit lighter stuff tomorrow. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, tomorrow and Sunday, and then we'll have to see how far. Sunday is technically the last day of Yeshiva. I think, who knows? We're not really sure. Okay. So at some point next week, we'll take a little bit of a break for a short break for Pesach, not even just a short day for pre-Pesach preps to help your mothers. Everyone should try to help as much as they can the next few days. Your mothers are overburdened, and try to help doing Eroy, whatever else you have to do. Try to do it safely. Any kasher, make sure you're safe. You don't know if you're going to get hurt. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, we'll have tomorrow Shia and then Sunday Shia. Maybe Monday will be determined. And then hopefully, Mitzvah Shem over Chol HaMoed, it'll be purely voluntary Shia, but we'll talk about the schedule and the timing, perhaps, of some sugyas to keep us going on Chol HaMoed as well. Okay, good. Wish everyone a good day. I think that 4:30.